1. We've got a couple of verses with you together. I want you to look at John the Baptist, the story of John the Baptist. We all know Luke chapter 1. Zacharias and Elizabeth wanted a child. God's going to give them a child. That child's name would be John the Baptist. John the Baptist would be the one that would be the forerunner of Christ. Why is he called the forerunner of Christ? He was born 6 months prior to Jesus' birth. And he is going to be the one that's going to prepare the material for Jesus Christ to be able to continue, to make fishers of men and to train and teach. And again, John the Baptist was definitely sent from God, used of God. Let's look at his story now. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 13. Luke 1:13 says this, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God." Now, church family, our text is verse 17 tonight. I don't want you to miss it. We're going to read verse 17. And if you don't mind, let's just go ahead and read it out loud together. Begin. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Let's look at that last phrase again, and here's what it says, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know, it's interesting what Jesus said about John the Baptist. Jesus said this, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." Jesus here, gives prominence or honor to John the Baptist because God used him in a great way. Now, I want you to notice that before John was even born, God said about John, from an angel, he said this phrase in the last verse, number 17, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. If you don't mind, I want you to look at the end of the chapter. We're going to come back there, but look at the end of the chapter, chapter 1 there again. Look at verse 67. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying..." So Zacharias is about to make some statements about John the Baptist in prophecy of what he would be. I'm going to jump down to verse 76, the first three words. Would you say those first three words with me? Verse 76 together. "And thou child..." Who's the child? John the Baptist. "And thou child shall be called..." Here's the prophecy. "Shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord..." And the word two, I want you to notice there's four of them. This is what John the Baptist, this child, prophesied by the Holy Ghost through Zacharias. He says, first of all, to prepare his ways. That's Jesus' way. To prepare his ways. Number two, verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation. Verse number 79, to give light to them in darkness. And then the next one, in the same verse, and in the shadow of death. And here's the last one, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Church family, how many years old, now again we approximated a little bit, but how many years old was Jesus when he died on the cross? Talk to me. 33 years, all right? So about 33, some would say 33 and a half, but 33 years old, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Now, we don't know for sure exactly when John the Baptist was beheaded, but it was during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. So we can bank on that John the Baptist was at least 30 years of age, maybe a little older, but he was around 30 years old when he was beheaded, somewhere in that age, because he was born 6 months prior to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to take a long time tonight. Really, one verse, one thought, and I want you to see what the Bible is teaching us here, and that's that phrase in verse number 17. Look back at the phrase again. Why was John the Baptist, why was he born? What was he to do? Yes, he was the forerunner of Christ, but why? Verse 17, the last phrase, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, I don't know if you thought this way or not, but parents are doing exactly what John the Baptist was doing. Preparing a people for the Lord. Hey, by the way, your pastor is doing exactly what John the Baptist did. What's he doing? Preparing a people for the Lord. A school teacher is doing the same thing John the Baptist did, preparing a people for the Lord. A soul winner is doing the same thing that John the Baptist did. What does a soul winner do? Prepares a people for the Lord. Now, tonight, I want to talk to you in that same verse, verse number 17, there's three thoughts, and I'm going to hurry tonight. I know it's been a long day for all of you. You know, yeah, it's been a great day. And by the way, if it'll help you wake up, we're having barbecued ribs here in just a moment, all right? And I just want to tell you that because I care about you, I've already tried the ribs, and they are very good. Alrighty, I had to make sure they just kind of fall off the bone. I mean, it's just they've been in cookers for a long time, and it's barbecued ribs. And she's got three big pans of them over there. And when I went to pull it out, I went to pull it off the bone, and the meat just kind of just fell off the bone. and I just set it over there on the side, and I said, thank you, Lord, and I went, oh, man, was it good. All right, so anyway, we're going to do that in just a few minutes, all right? Now, I need you to get this thought tonight, and then we're going to go eat, all right? Now, we're going to look at books, and then we're going to eat, amen? Now, in this passage here, the last phrase of verse 17, Jesus said, Zechariah said, through the Holy Ghost, that John the Baptist would prepare a people for the Lord. Now, we all understand that John the Baptist prepared two types of people. All right, now, I've got to lay this base. I'm going to give you the three thoughts that are in verse number 17 on how to prepare people for the Lord. If you're a parent, if you're a school teacher, if you're a Sunday school teacher, how do we prepare people for the Lord? Same thing John the Baptist did. They're all in verse number 17. And I want you to think for just a moment, John the Baptist's ministry of preparing people was both lost and saved. All right? I don't know. I won't have you turn to it, but I think I can read it to you real quickly here. In the book of Mark, if I remember correctly, Mark chapter 1, verse number 5, it's very, very interesting. The Bible says about John the Baptist, and there went out unto him, unto John the Baptist, and there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, it's interesting that John the Baptist, he influenced a lot of people. So what happened? John the Baptist was born. The Bible says that John the Baptist, we don't know how old he was, but he went into the desert, into the wilderness. He went away from everybody until the day of his ministry. We read that at the end of the chapter. And then now, he's around 30 years of age. He comes out. He's in a leathern girdle. You know, he's a very rough character. He comes preaching repentance, and you need to be baptized. And so all Judea, all Jerusalem, they're coming to him, and he's preaching it. Now, by the way, they question whether or not he was even the Messiah because of his message. They thought he was the Messiah. So John the Baptist is being used of God. And what was he doing? He was preparing both lost and saved. The lost, they came. And what'd they say? What must we do? What must we do? And he was talking to soldiers. He was talking to the common people. He was talking to other people. And he said, listen, here's what you need to do. There needs to be fruit for your repentance. There needs to be some type of show. You really believe? Show me you believe. And then he would baptize them. All right, so he had a ministry of preparing people that were lost, but he also had a ministry of preparing people that were saved. Hey, church family, who was the person that brought Peter to Jesus? Very good. It was Andrew. How was Andrew related to Peter? All right, brother, all right? All right, so it's interesting, though. Did you know what Andrew was before? I mean, not before he was a brother. He was a disciple of John. And the Bible says that as a disciple of John, he went to his brother, Andrew went to his brother Peter and said, hey, listen, we found the Messiah. And then they went after Jesus. Before Andrew ever became an apostle, he was a disciple of John. You know why? Because John was preparing a people for the Lord. All right, now, with that thought tonight, I want you to notice with me in your Bible, I want to show you three things in verse number 17, what it takes in order to prepare a people for the Lord. Doesn't matter if it's your family. Doesn't matter if it's a Sunday school class. Doesn't matter if you're teaching. The Bible says this is what John did in verse 17. I'm going to read the whole verse again. Here's what it says. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient up to the wisdom of the just to make a people prepared for the Lord. All right, let's look at the first one. First one I want you to see in verse 17. If you're going to prepare people for the Lord, look at verse 17, verse number 1. Verse number 17, first phrase. All right, you all don't care what I'm saying right now, so anyone won't matter. All right, it's like saying Genesis 1, chapter 2. All right, I caught that, Brother Morgan. I don't know if you caught that or not, but anyway. All right, the rest of you can go back to sleep. All right, verse 17, here's what it says. It says, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. Now, the word Elias comes from Elijah. Now, when you get to the last phrase, John the Baptist helped prepare people for the Lord. I want to tell you how he prepared people for the Lord. Because John the Baptist had the power of the Holy Spirit upon his life. He went in the spirit and power of Elias. What did Elijah do? Elijah was that guy that called fire down from heaven. Elijah was that guy that said, God, don't let it rain. It didn't rain for 3 years. Elijah was that guy that stood up to Ahab and said, Ahab, you're not doing right. You just got done stealing Naboth's vineyard. You're going to die. Elijah was that fella that when the king sent to take him, and they sent those 50 soldiers, and they said, hey, listen, man of God, the king wants to see you. And he said, if I be a man of God, may fire come down from heaven. Shoosh. Killed all 50 of them. Another centurion with 50 soldiers come and said, man of God, the king wants to see you. He said, if I'm a man of God, may fire come down from heaven. Shoosh. They're gone. I mean, Elijah had the power. Elijah was the one that went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah's the one that's mentioned in the New Testament that he prayed and got his prayers answered. Now, here's what I'm trying to say tonight, is that John the Baptist is called in reference to Elijah because of the spirit and power that was on Elijah's life was the same spirit and power that was on John the Baptist's life. Now, I want to tell you, if you're going to prepare people for the Lord, I want to tell you what you've got to do. You've got to be a spirit-filled Christian. You've got to be a spirit-filled Christian. You've got to put as much scripture, and we've talked about this before. A spirit-filled Christian and a scripture-filled Christian are the same exact thing. What makes me spirit-filled is the scripture. So I've got to put as much of the Word of God, spiritual things in. And what does that do? It causes me to think spiritually and talk spiritually and act spiritually. And you know what that does? It helps me prepare people for the Lord. Every time you get in front of your class during the school week, every time it's your homeschooling or at the Christian school, and you're teaching your students, can I tell you something more important than math, English, and science? Is a Spirit-filled teacher. A student always gets more from a teacher's spirit than they do than a teacher's academic knowledge. Always. Hey, can I tell you, every time the preacher gets up, he needs to make it be Spirit-filled. By the way, in context, it's talking about John the Baptist. It's really talking about if you're going to have a people prepared for the Lord, you need a Spirit-filled preacher. But truthfully, the application is you need to be a Spirit-filled Christian. And so, first of all, I see if we're going to prepare people for the Lord, if Sharon, Seth, Samuel, Silas, Stephen, Stephanie, Sarah, Susanna are going to, as children of Scott Hanks, if they're going to grow up and serve God, I have to prepare them. How do I prepare them to serve God? Hey, I want to tell you something. If my kids end up in full-time Christian service, glory to God, I'll be happy. But I want to tell you something. More important than being in service full-time is being in the will of God. And you know what? I want to tell you something, young people. There's no shame in being a doctor or a lawyer. And I know people used to preach, you know, bless God, let the lost be the doctors. Bless God, let the lost be the lawyers. Okay, but I want to tell you something. There is a perfect will of God for your life. And you don't have to look, hang your head down because you do something else. But find out what God's will is for your life, because God did not make you and say, okay, do whatever you want. God has a will for your life. And I want to tell you something, us as parents, we're supposed to be guiding and directing, and the best thing that we can possibly do is be a Spirit-filled Christian. Point things to Jesus Christ in daily life and what God's doing in our life and what He wants in our life and be what the Christian you're supposed to be. All right? So how do we prepare people for the Lord? First of all, be a Spirit-filled Christian. Second of all, I want you to see, the second one's very interesting to me. He's very particular. And in fact, before I read verse 17, could you hold your place there and turn to Malachi chapter number 4? This is an Old Testament prophecy about John the Baptist. I want you to see it because it's repeated. In Malachi chapter 4, jump down and look at verse number 6. I'll read verse 5, verse 5 and 6. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Are you with me tonight? Say amen. Follow me in your Bible. We don't turn to too many, but I want you to follow with me. Here's what it says. Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah. Now remember now, Elijah and John the Baptist is a parallel. The prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, flip back to Luke chapter 1. Let's see that verse repeated. In Luke 1, verse 17, our text verse tonight, if we're going to prepare and make ready a people for the Lord, first of all, we see, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. We need Spirit-filled Christians. Second of all, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now, church family, before I really deal with this, and I'm not going to be long, but before I deal with this tonight, I want to stop for a second, because we've got several in our church, you don't have a father. Physically, you don't have a father at home with you right now. And in some cases, we have some of you don't have a mother at home. Now, it's interesting because the longer I live life, the Bible always proves itself true. I am amazed what God does for fatherless children. And to be honest with you, I never saw scripture about it, but I saw instances of it. I mean, a father who left his family, and then God does some of the most miraculous things for those children. And I want to tell you, and I don't think you are, and I hope you're not, but don't use that as an excuse. Well, I would be this, or I would do this, but I didn't have a dad. That's not the case. You have a Heavenly Father. Hey, and I don't have time to do a Bible study with you tonight, but if you don't mind, can I just read a couple with you? Here's what the Bible says. Psalm 10:14. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and smite, and the poor committeth himself unto thee. Talking about God. Here's what he says. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Psalm 68, verse number 5. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. Listen to this. Psalm 146, 9. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. And there's a whole bunch more. I just want you to understand tonight that this point that we're really discussing tonight, if you're going to prepare our people for the Lord, then a father's heart must be toward his child. Now, I think it's sometimes crazy. You know, mothers have a natural draw to their children because they're a mother. They bear those children. There's almost more of a concern, more of a care. Hey, church family, do you remember the story about Elisha? I don't want to get sidetracked tonight, but I'm just think for just a moment here. Remember Elisha? And Elisha was away, and the Shunammite woman she didn't have a child. And of course, Elisha told, you're going to have a child. She has a child. Elisha's away now. The child's maybe 10, 11 years old. Remember, the child is working out in the field. I'm trying to remind the story. Remember, the child's out there working with the father. And he says, my head, my head. What did the dad do? Go see your mother. Is that not the epitome of a dad? Go see your mother. You know why? And by the way, what did the mother do? What did she do? She took that child and she said to her husband, hey, listen, I'm going to go see the man of God. And he said, what's wrong? Nothing. I just want to go see the man of God. Can I tell you that I think that fathers really have to work at being careful that you don't get so busy in your work or so busy in your life that you forget that your heart is, the word heart there means affection. Feelings. Now, I remember for years now, several of you church members, because your kids have gotten older, I don't know how many times you've told me, Pastor, take time with your kids. Of course, I was younger than you. And so you'd say that. And I'm thankful for that. But I want to tell you, I'm at that age now, and first one's gone, and I have two that are 15, and they went to driving school. Man, my kid's driving? We're in trouble. And one by one, and you know what, I look at your families, and of course, many of you had children when you were younger, and you had first gotten married. Ours we had later. And so your kids now are married and having children. I just have still seven at home, and they're going to start leaving quickly. Hey, you know what? If I'm going to prepare them for the Lord, dad has to set his heart toward the child. Now, mamas, you do it naturally. Dads, we don't do it naturally. You know what dads do? Men are goal-orientated. That's the way God made us. Give me a job. Let's get it done. All right, that's how men are. That's how we are. All right, it doesn't matter if we're doing a sport. It doesn't matter if we're doing a job. It doesn't matter if we're taking care of an obligation. What do men do? This is a job. Let's get it done. God made a woman with more emotion, with more feeling. So you know what God says? God says, if you're going to prepare a people for the Lord, the same thing I told John the Baptist to do is to take the heart of the father and point it to the child, and the heart of the child and point it to the father. He said, hey, listen, this is what you're going to have to do. If you're going to prepare people for God, fellas, fathers, you need to make sure you've set your heart towards your child. Find out what they like. No, listen, I know our children. They're not the boss. Say amen. They're not the boss. Dad's the boss. As a one, and but you know, there's some things that we can do with our children. Hey, fellas, when's the last time you sat down and find out how they're doing their schoolwork? Go to your mother. When's the last time something they wanted to do? Now, I want to tell you, the older you get, the less you want to do. You don't feel like going out and playing ball if you worked all day long. But your kids enjoy some of this stuff. You know what they want? They want your time. Children's children are the crown of men, and the glory of children are their fathers. So can I tell you, if we're going to prepare a people for the Lord, then what we need to do is we need to have the Father. We need to point the heart of the Father, His feelings, His thoughts toward their children. The children are the biggest thing. Hey, how many of you, all of your children are out of the house now? Would you raise your hand? Did it go fast, Brother and Sister Neri? Brother and Sister Stumpel, did it go fast? It goes fast. So I want to tell you something. Once they're out, it's their own families. Mom and Dad now have to take their hand off of things. It's none of your business. Sharon's married now. What John Michael and Sharon do, it's not my business. John Michael's business. And I'm thankful for that, by the way. I take care of the ones that are at home, but I need to set my heart toward that. So how are we going to see people go the way of the Lord? First of all, be a spirit-filled Christian. Number two, for the hearts of the fathers to be set toward the children. Quickly, let me show you this last one. Look at verse number 17 again. Here's what it says. And he shall go before him in the spirit of power of Elias, spirit-filled Christian, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That's the fathers with a heart for their child. And then he says, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Now, listen to me. I'm done tonight. This last thought. If we're going to have a people that's prepared to serve God, God, whatever your will is for my life, it doesn't matter if it's full-time Christian service, it doesn't matter if you want me in secular work. God, if whatever your will is, that's what I want. If we're going to have children that will say that and do that, then it's going to take a spirit-filled Christian. By the way, either a parent, teacher, pastor, take somebody spirit-filled to influence somebody's life. Number two, it takes a father that has a heart for their child. Now listen, I love you, but you can't do that. I love you, but you're not going to do that. And then last of all, it takes a disobedient person to be reprovable. Remember what he says there? the disobedient, let me read it out of the passage here in verse number 17. He says, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. The disobedient to the wisdom of the just. If we're going to have a people prepared for the Lord, I want to tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take people to be able to take correction. Hey, now, young people, I want to tell you, young people listening tonight, it's been a long day for many of you. You know, here's what we have, okay? Danny, come up here. You can pretend you're my son for a moment, all right? I failed in life, okay? If I tell Danny to make his bed, and Danny stomps off and makes his bed, all right? Stomp off, go make your bed. All right? And he makes his bed, all right? Did he obey me? Yes, he did. Did he obey me in his heart? No. All right, come up here a second. And if I say, hey, listen, Danny, listen, I want you to make your bed every day. You understand? I want you to make your bed. You need to make your bed. Looks like it's the sea with all the waves. All right, I want the bed made. Straighten that thing up, okay? All right, thanks. Go over there and make it. All right, now, there's a difference between being obedient in action and being obedient in heart. Now, young people, listen to me tonight. I'll be done if you listen. This is important. There's so many of you right now, you've got the obedience and action down right, but you don't have the obedience and heart down right. Okay. Hey, God sees your heart. Hey, can I tell you, if you are going to serve God, I want to tell you what's going to help you serve God. If you get to a place in your life that you surrender your will to your parents and the authorities in your life, say, okay, God, or parents, whatever, what did you want me to do? That's what I want to do. I don't understand it. I might not like it. But I'm not going to have a bad attitude about it. And you know what that does? It prepares you to find God's will for your life. Are you listening tonight?
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead and sit for a second. Hey, you have a Heavenly Father? You have an earthly father. The reason God puts an earthly father in your life is to tell you no and to tell you what to do. So that you will get used to obeying something you can see, so that you will eventually obey something you cannot see. Now you listen, I'm done. If you cannot obey your mother and father, you will not obey your Heavenly Father. Won't happen. I want God's will for my life. Then obey your parents. Amen. Obey those teachers. Amen. Obey the preacher. Amen. You know why? Because I want to be prepared for whatever God wants for my life. And part of me being prepared is for the disobedient to come under the way of the wise and the prudent. That's what we need to do. Hey, as your pastor, I hope you all serve God all your days. And by the way, I'm encouraged tonight listening to how many years people have been here and you've been faithful. It's encouraging to me. But you guys coming up, you're the replacements for all the gray hair. And the only way it's going to happen is if you're prepared for whatever the Lord's will is for your life. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? Take a moment of prayer.